SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about the presidential inauguration of Donald J. Trump on Friday, January 20th. And we're asking, are you going to attend? And if you're not going to attend, are you going to watch? Why or why not? My guest is Dr. Greg Carr, Chair of Afro-American Studies here at Howard University. We're going to take as many phone calls as we can at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone, Dr. Carr, I wanted you to talk a little bit about what one of our previous callers said. He said that he wasn't going to go because it's not historic. I would beg to differ because certainly history is as it happens, I would argue. And secondly, every presidential inauguration in the United States is historic, although what some may argue is historic for them may not be for others.
I would agree with you, Harold. It is going to be historic. I also agree with the last caller who said that we should be embarrassed, but not for the reasons he said. This is a historic inauguration. The person being inaugurated for the first time in a half century has not released his tax return. The person who is being inaugurated has been critical of every institution in American life and most of the key figures in American life and around the world in terms of America's relationships, with one glaring exception. The person who heads the government that the national intelligence community has agreed interfered with the American election. It's going to be historic because when he is sworn in, Donald Trump will be the owner of a hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue that black letter law says he cannot own, which means the minute he takes his hand off the same Bible that Barack Obama used, he will be in direct violation of any number of American laws and may even trigger a constitutional crisis. It will be historic for no other reason than he has generated, even after his election, a mean-spirited avalanche of invective through social media, which is, in fact, without precedent in any era of American history, and certainly even in the last age of social media. And finally, concerning the inauguration, he has engendered ill will, even in the city of Washington, D.C. Let's just take two very quick examples. The man, the old man, who has announced every inauguration parade since Dwight David Eisenhower.
60 years, absolutely, 60 years.
Donald Trump, and the brother who is over the D.C. National Guard will not be in charge of the National Guard on the day of the inauguration. Donald Trump, oh, yes, this is without precedent, and quite frankly, I do agree with the brother. This is an international embarrassment. This is an international embarrassment, but for the exact opposite reasons that he raised.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Maryland, calling from Virginia. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was just calling to say that I will not go and I will not view it, because to do those things is to support what he represents. And I don't think he's going to represent America the way that America should be represented. I would also like to say that for those who are doing the protesting, the way that Donald Trump thinks is according to how many heads are present. If you're going to do a protest, you should do it in a different place than the National, because the National Mall, because it doesn't, to him, it wouldn't matter how many people are protesting, it's just how many people are there. If they protest somewhere like at the White House, then they can see how many people really support him and how many people really don't. There probably wouldn't be nobody there if it wouldn't be for the protesters. So that's something that I believe in.
Okay, Marilyn, thank you so much.
And I won't be there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Sandra, calling from Dumfries, Virginia. What's on your mind? Are you going or not?
So I'm not going, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm not going, but I will be watching some of the things that's going on. I was listening to a caller earlier, and he was saying that he didn't think this would be historic, so therefore he's not going. I don't agree with that, because I feel like it is historic, although I'm not a Trump supporter. Everything he's done has gone against everything that we know to be legal. So, therefore, it's historic, because he's still going to be our president. And he's built a dynasty of sorts, and he's doing that right now. So I think it's wise for many of us to pay attention to what's happening versus turning our face to it. And because it's given us a direct reflection of what America truly stands for, and it makes you wonder who's truly running America. And I think if we close our eyes to that, then we'll continue to stay asleep, and things will continue to happen around us, and we'll just be full of anger and frustration, but not aware. And I think that that's going to do our community, the black community, a detriment.
Okay.
So I think it's wise for us to pay attention to what's happening in the world and the relationships that Trump has established and the, like I said, dynasty that he's building within that administration, to include all of the other entertainers and things like that that are starting to come out and go to the table to sit and talk with him and listen to him. I think it's wise for them to do that because at least you're inside, at least you're here and you know what's happening, or at least what they're allowing you to see. But if we don't allow that opportunity to take place, then we are only fooling ourselves by sitting here having discussions without being involved. So
okay.
I will watch some of what's happening because I think we need to.
All right. Sandra, thank you so much. Dr. Carr, let's talk about that last point that she made. Ambassador Andrew Young, civil rights icon, friend of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., friend of John Lewis, took a call today from Donald Trump specifically talking about the John Lewis statement. He said, and this is being reported by USA Today, that number one, he said, this is a Donald Trump that no one has seen before, or he has never seen before. But he also said what Sandra just said, paraphrasing, you know, saying that we do need to sit down and talk with Donald Trump. What are your thoughts about what Ambassador Young was suggesting?
Well, I think this very quaintly, and I think Sandra made some excellent points. I think we have to be engaged in our democracy. Absolutely. That's number one. Number two, I think that what Donald John Trump does is force everyone to take a stand. You can't be neutral about him, on him. And I think what happens is everyone will reveal themselves for who they are. I think Ambassador Young, who is certainly an iconic figure in terms of the civil rights movement, as mayor of Atlanta, UN representative, congressman, the ambassador has also been a quite wily businessman over the last half century.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's speaking as someone who is used to negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
But that's his stand. I do think, however, that Donald Trump will not change, that his initial outburst directed toward John Lewis is him, and that he only talks to black people when he thinks that he can use them. I think that if the ambassador believes otherwise, he's being incredibly naive, and I don't think he does believe that. I think he's trying to be political. Finally, I do think it's very interesting, though, to note that many of the congresspeople who have said they're not coming are from so-called safe districts, certainly not surprised to see California in that number of Californians. But that speaks to the power of the people, and that goes back to her point, Sandra's point. We have to be engaged, and I think what you're going to see is that this Trump presidency, for however long it lasts, because, again, I am by no means convinced that Mr. Trump will make it even out of his first calendar year. But this Trump presidency will galvanize both support for him and opposition, and that people like Ambassador Young are going to have to pick a side. They won't be able to stay on the fence long.
Before I go back to the phone lines, we do have some breaking news coming into the WHUR newsroom. We are getting reports out of Orlando, Florida tonight that suspected cop killer Markeith Lloyd has been captured and is now in custody. This is according to the Orlando, Florida Police Department. You may remember last week he was suspected of killing Police Master Sergeant Deborah Clayton when she tried to approach him at an Orlando area Walmart. Again, this just coming in, a suspected cop killer, Markeith Lloyd, captured and now in custody. He was the only suspect in the killing of a black police officer, Master Sergeant Deborah Clayton, last week at an Orlando area Walmart. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Judith calling from D.C. Hey. Judith, hey, how are you? What's on your mind?
Good. Thank you for taking my call. I will not be attending. I will not be watching. I've been an activist since I was 13 years old, but I remember history very well. A Republican administration, President Nixon, gave a lot to black people. In doing so, you know, a lot more than a lot of presidencies did. In doing so, we took what we were able to get at that time. There were a lot of good, strong black Republicans, and they asked for some good things. One America, Brother Fletcher, hey, we dancing double dutch. But at the same time, us getting something confused black people about what we were losing when the rest of America was losing with the Nixon policies. Number two, it helped to galvanize this whole idea that blacks and minorities get more from the government in benefits and services than the majority race does in this country, which is not so. And so it helped stir and keep that bitterness going until right-wing talk radio has really ramped it up. This man, Trump, has licensed himself to the fossil fuel people, to the certain banking and insurance interests. And I am scared that when he ignores giving his tax records, when he ignores divesting from his businesses, we get a hint of what he will do with foreign policy, and a war looms, and all we do is lose our young people in wars, not just profit masters of war who build the big guns.
Okay.
So we have to be careful and we have to be watchful, but we will protest on the 20th and the 21st.
Very well, Judith. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Nikita calling from Waldorf. Hey, Nikita, what's on your mind?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Okay, so no, I will not be attending the inauguration. For a multitude of reasons, one being that it's too much illegal activity surrounding him. His character is like a elementary student. I don't trust him to represent us as a people, as a country, to go in another country and represent us. God knows we are all praying that he doesn't go over and start another war because of his mouth. He doesn't know how to conduct himself. In no fashion. And then on top of that, like the previous caller said, what is taxes? If you are really here for the people, how could you boldly go on national television and boast that you haven't paid your taxes and you're making millions? However, it's okay to tax the mediocre or the low-income people as much as you tax us, but it's okay for you to get away with it and you make millions.
Hmm. Well, let me say, Nikita, not so much in defense of Donald Trump, but I think the reality is, as we have seen, and Dr. Carr, you can certainly speak to this as well, that historically, he who has the best accountants finds the best loopholes for taxes. And
I think that is.
That's a very, very difficult reality. You know, certainly multi-billionaire investor Warren Buffett said several years ago that percentage-wise, he pays a lesser amount of taxes than his secretary. And a lot of that has to do with being able to pay for the best brains to find those loopholes.
Absolutely, Harold. But I think that the distinction we have to make in the case of Trump is quite plain. In American history, there have only been a handful of presidents whose experience prior to the Oval Office, and Donald Trump is maybe the only one to have never run for elective office before this, but whose experiences came primarily from the business world. Two come immediately to mind. One is Herbert Hoover, and we saw what happened there in terms of his free market philosophy led to the Great Depression in part. But the other one was Warren G. Harding. And Warren Harding's presidency was riddled with scandal, the most famous of which, of course, was the Teapot Dome scandal, the cash for influence and influence peddling scandal. That having been said, the release of tax returns isn't so much about showing whether or not Donald Trump was a shrewd businessman. And, of course, the jury, after these bankruptcies that one of the callers mentioned, is still very much out in terms of that. But it's really about trying to determine who may have a financial hold over him. He is heavily leveraged. he is heavily leveraged, and what we know of his financials seem to indicate that he is heavily leveraged to several massive lenders in countries that are either in open conflict with the United States or potentially in conflict with the United States.
Hold that point. I've got to take a break, and I'll let you finish on the other side, and then after that we're going to talk to Kent and Patrice. Holding on the line, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about the inauguration of Donald J. Trump, scheduled, of course, on January 20th. Are you going? Are you going to watch? Why or why not? Dr. Carr, I'll let you finish up your point about Donald Trump's tax returns.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, you know, it isn't just about whether or not, as you say, he can certainly pay the lowest amount of taxes legally possible. It's really about who he owes and how he owes. And frankly, the man is very heavily leveraged, as we said. One of the reasons, I think the primary reason he has not released his tax returns is that it would basically help provide part of a roadmap to the people who could have undue influence over him in a presidency. And again, even though the Constitution does state that the office of the executive does not have the same rules applied to it as other federal members of the federal government in terms of ethics, in terms of disclosure, and in terms of financial, you know, obligations, this kind of thing, and what they can and can't do. This isn't just about the letter of the law. It's about the spirit of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And the emoluments clause of the federal constitution is very clear. That no one can be enriched. The chief executive cannot be enriched by a foreign power. And it is, again, I think, Harold, this time next week, we may have shifted, and you as a newsman may be completely caught up in a very real constitutional crisis as it relates to Donald Trump. And these tax returns, I think, may just be a very big part of that.
At least, at the very least, I would argue that, you know, for me and for a lot of my, you know, my professional, you know, colleagues and peers, that we are going to have a lot to do because there's going to be a lot to report on.
Absolutely. If nothing else, I don't see how he makes it a month if they don't take that Twitter account from him, brother.
It's going to be fascinating. Let me go back to the phone lines. Patrice calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Hi. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to go, but my mom has to work, so I feel sad. But to my point of view, I don't think that Donald Trump should be I don't think he's suited to be president because he doesn't have no experience.
Mm-hmm. How old are you, Patrice? Speaking of experience,
13.
So, but you want to go? Why do you want to go?
I want to support my country. That's what I'm standing for.
Interesting. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate your phone call, and thank you so much. And who knows what may happen between now and Friday and whether or not your mother may have an opportunity.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Patrice. I appreciate you listening to the program. Let us go to Kent. Kent calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Kent. What's on your mind?
Yes. First off, I want to say, one, I will not be attending.
Mm-hmm.
And, me being I'm a small business owner in the District of Columbia. For me, I, as a black man and a small business owner, I have an obligation to represent as a black man, a small business owner, because he's going to have an impact on everybody who are not millionaires, including small business owners, as well as individuals that are just everyday working class people. When I look at what's going on right now and you talk about, you know, he inviting rappers and comedians and, you know, it's just ridiculous. When you talk about these people going into places where they have no legislative body, no policymakers attending these meetings with them that can actually talk to Donald Trump and hold him accountable, okay, for these people to step into these meetings without people sitting next to them. It should be, when they are invited, when Steve Harvey was invited, he should have had a group of people with him to go there with him so they can hold him accountable with a legislative body of individuals who have policymakers who can make certain that he lives up to the things that he says in those meetings.
Mm-hmm.
When you have no power and no effect as a result of that power, the meeting is worthless.
Okay.
So from my standpoint is that, you know, it's a disgrace to us for him to play with the black community. Technically, that's what you're doing. You want to invite people who are in the legislative body. You want to invite people who actually have an impact on getting things done. But you will invite rappers and, you know, singers and, you know, comedians.
Okay.
No.
Well, Kent,
that's a disgrace.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Derek, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. First, I'd like to start off by saying I will not be attending the inauguration. I won't watch it, and I encourage other people to do the same. You know, have your television on, tune to something else, so his ratings are really low. But first and foremost, I mean, you know, this is a man who does not represent what America stands for. You know, I mean, the majority, half the country is not proud that this man is even the president. But here we are. We're at a time when a person who has stooped to new lows have been able to become to be the person in charge of the highest position in the free world, but yet. This man who has done these things, we're not, you know, nobody's looking at those things. And then there's several questions that need to be asked. You know, even with Russia, I mean, you know, there's been many comments. Yes, we know that Russia hacked in, but we don't believe that they hacked in to change the election. Well, what would be the case? What would be the need in them hacking in? They could have watched it on television just like we did. I mean, several other questions about the people that he's bringing in. I mean, when you know, we know that Sessions is a racist. I mean, you know, there's been groups of lawyers and as well as law schools that are, you know, that are against this man.
Yeah.
So we know about him. Even Tillerson. I mean, we must ask the question: why is a man who makes upwards of $40 million a year taking a $200,000 a year job?
Yeah. You know, let me say, Derek, you know, that's an interesting point that you make. You know, we could very well see the presidential cabinet with the highest income value in history, even adjusted for inflation, the highest number of billionaires there. But yeah, I think that is an interesting question. You know, obviously the answer, Dr. Carr, someone could say, well, yes, I do want to serve, you know, my country. But if I'm worth $1 billion, or in the case of Rex Tillerson, $150 to $200 million, you know, sometimes it may give people pause as to why someone may be willing to have the headaches of government red tape, as opposed to sitting with a drink with an umbrella in it somewhere. So.
well, Harold, you know, you can look at Penny Pritzker. In Pritzker, in the Obama administration, there's certainly some very well-moneyed people in the Obama administration.
Absolutely.
But the 17 billionaire pluses in the millionaire pluses in the Trump proposed cabinet have more collective wealth than the bottom 40% of the American population. There's no precedent for this. And as far as Rex Tillerson is concerned, of course, he's not taking the job for the salary. You're looking at a man who has hundreds of millions of dollars and millions of acres of development deals related to oil with Russia in terms of Exxon. And so, you know, these are not jobs that they're not taking salary cuts. What they're doing is moving into place to maximize profit. And anyone who thinks that that's not the case is simply not grappling with reality.
Okay.
And so tonight, your question, you know, let's be fair, we live in the DMV. So for those people who are listening online who are not in the Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia area,
you know, people of African descent generally don't go down on the mall for inaugurations. These last two have been without precedent.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of people get out of town for that. We're locals.
Yeah, that's true. You're, and no matter what you think about the person there, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, prior to 2009, inauguration's coming. Oh, I'm not going down there.
Well,
there it is.
Last thing I would say is that, you know, these are, as I said, ceremonial events.
Yeah.
And so attending them or not attending them for people who are expected to be there sends a message.
Okay. Taylor, calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Last call. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Harold and Tana. I just want to say that, no, I will not be in attendance. However, I will be, you know, watching periodically here and there. I do want to say my concern is for people who are going down there is the crowd, the hate groups in those crowds that will be there. So if you are going, please be very careful. And if you are a young person, please have adults with you.
Interesting.
That's a situation that's very ugly and very nasty, as we know.
Why are you going to watch?
I'll be watching the presidency. I need to listen so I can hear it for myself, educate myself. I don't want anything secondhand.
I see.
Know what I'm saying? So for my own purposes, watching, listening through radio as well, that's what I do.
Okay, well, Taylor, thank you so much for your phone call. And, of course, Dr. Carr, as always, a pleasure to have you on the program.
So the pleasure is mine. And be safe, Harold, because I know y'all got to be out there in them streets, man. Be safe,
brother. That's what we do. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And, of course, as we said, WHUR will have coverage of the inauguration on January 20th, so please be sure to listen to the program throughout the course of the day. We will be reporting from the National Mall. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Facebook at Harold T. Fisher or on Twitter at H. Fisher W.